You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio. All right, so day two, CWCBE, and everyone's feeling a little knocked out from all the partying, everybody going around last night and stuff, and it's always cool when we get to have someone who actually is part of the CWBE. We got to speak to the owner yesterday, and that was really a lot of fun. We had about an hour able doing that stuff with him, and then we have Osiris, Steven. How you doing, my brother, today?
I'm doing great, Andrew. Thank you for having me on.
So I know we talked a little bit about your interest in cannabis and things like that, but before you started working with the CWCBE, what were you doing?
Well, my background's in education. I was a operations director, so I oversaw the buildings of schools. I actually rebuilt the infrastructures, you know, from data to technology to, you know, anything to get a school up and running, even hiring, financial policies, things like that.
That's cool. And how long were you doing that for?
For 10 years.
10 years, right?
Yeah.
And then were you getting to a point where, oh, I'm going to retire or this? Or, I mean, what happened that all of a sudden there was this major shift from doing what you do and then getting into the cannabis industry?
Well, the shift came when there was like a change in just administration. The education system was just not what I thought it was going to be.
Okay, so you were kind of disappointed a little bit in it?
Yeah, I did. There was too much politics involved, and dealing with kids' lives and families, it got a little disruptive.
Politics and being in the middle of something and, you know, could disturbing families and being that can be very stressful on somebody for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially when you're dealing with children who have, you know, disabilities.
Sure.
And having those strange conversations saying, hey, you know what, your child needs to be diagnosed and evaluated, you know?
Yeah, sure, I understand that. So what made you get into the cannabis industry?
Well, the interesting thing, after I left the education system, my son, around when he was about 2.5 years old, started having seizures.
And oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was...
Was that something that was in the history of your family ever or no?
Well, that's interesting you even asked that question because that was one of the questions that doctors asked, you know, neurologists.
Yeah, of course, and there
was
absolutely.
And there was no history of it.
None.
And...
was there any kind of accident or something that happened that there was possibly that was your first thought? Maybe he fell or this or something like that? Or
not at all. The only difference was that we were able to track it back was he was vaccinated. He did receive one vaccine.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, it was one vaccine.
It's possible that from a vaccination, one could have epilepsy. I've never, ever heard that. That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
My mom has epilepsy. I mean, she passed away, but my mom had epilepsy, you know.
Oh, wow.
So I dealt with that my whole life with her as a child, you know, her having seizures and things like that. So it's very scary when you're young to, like, see your own parent have that, let alone be a parent and see your child have that is definitely very hard.
Yeah, it was a challenge. Even before I even found out it was epilepsy, I had an interest in the cannabis industry because I was like looking for the next market after I left my job.
Sure.
And I was like, let me take a look at an industry, and I joined an organization called the Cannabis and Hemp Association out in New York.
Okay.
And I was pretty much educated on cannabis as being a medicine.
Okay.
And which I never thought that. I thought people just, you know, go around, you know, just get high, relax, whatever the case may be.
Absolutely.
But I took that knowledge. Well, finding out, I'm like, you know, I got to make sure my son's getting some, you know, cannabis in his system somehow to help him with the epilepsy. Because I found out it did help.
Yeah, sure. So what did you do? You started giving him CBD?
Or? Yeah. We started giving him the tinctures. We were able to find some because no one in New York at the time.
Let me ask you, out of curiosity then, prior to giving him the CBD... And prior to the doctors, well, they first started figuring out what it is. Obviously, they gave him some form of medication for that, right?
Yeah.
How many seizures was he having?
He was having anywhere between 100 to 200 a day.
It started 100 at 2 years old, 100 to 200 a day, bro. I am so sorry to hear that you had to go through that. That is insane.
Oh, it was.
And then he started taking the medication and the CBD, and then what did it drop to?
Well, the interesting thing is had him on two medications. We had to take him off one because it was making him totally batty. He was emotional wreck.
Wow.
The dosage that he was on for the Depakote, it was 1,000 milligrams. Come to find out, it was equivalent to what a grown male of 200 pounds would take.
To put that in a 2-year-old, that is absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, but it was a challenge once we figured out about
it. And it's hard to make that decision. What are you going to do? Like, a doctor tells you this, what it is. You're a fucking parent. You're like, kids, like, having 100 seizures. That is outrageous. You're going to want to do anything. Right?
You couldn't. We couldn't. So I couldn't work. I actually became a stay-at-home dad for a year.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Just to take care of him, to take him to doctor's appointments.
So you realize that this heavy-duty medicine was making him a little wacky, and then took him off that, right?
Yep. And when but he was still on the other heavy medication. Come to find out, was also triggering his seizures because it's opiate. It's a form of an opiate.
Wow, it was triggering it. Holy damn, that is fucking nuts.
Yeah. So it was a cycle. It was a constant cycle.
Wow. It's like, no matter what, he was running under some serious bad luck.
Yeah.
And then how much were you giving him as a dose of CBD?
The CBD, it varied because we had to play with it because we had to understand, you know, what would work, what didn't work at the times of day. So we were giving him about up to 185 milligrams a day. So he was getting like between 3 to 4 doses. But when the seizures were getting bad, we had to figure other ways of giving it to him. So sometimes if the seizures were really bad, we would even do it rectally.
Okay, sure.
So
okay, wow.
Yeah.
So, wow, interesting. And now, how old is your son?
He's 5 years old, and he's probably maybe down to five.
Five a day?
Five a day, if that.
If that.
And he's going to school, and he's functioning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you know what? And it could peter to a point where it might be months, right? As he gets older and things like that.
Is weaning down.
I mean, he's still young, you know, and the body's building. How much CBD are you giving to him now?
Well, we had changed brands, so it's about 145 milligrams.
145.
And it's been working great.
And do you kind of just find something you really like and be like, okay, boom, that's what we're doing? Or are you trying to find some other CBD genetics or things to, like, add to it or whatever, maybe to see if that can, you know, take it down even a little more? Or?
Well, we're working with what we have now, and one of the things that we are doing is watching his diet and also monitoring.
That makes a big contribution to
definitely.
Epilepsy is the diet also as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff I had no idea.
Well, it's like this. Let's put it this way. Constipation, you can cause triggered seizures.
What?
Yeah, there's this term that they use. It's like you have your second brain that's in your stomach because all the nerves that are surrounding your stomach area.
Oh, wow.
So if you have pressure there, it can actually increase. That's why some people will have operations.
Wow.
Like, it's called a VNS surgery, where they can actually manage, you know, the nerve itself. You can have, like, a switch that could just, like, stop it.
Man. Wow. And so let me ask you something. In the midst of doing this, did you have any blowback, though, from anybody who thought it was, like, bad that you're giving your kid this when... I mean, in your situation, it's hard to imagine even someone judging you on this, but did that happen?
Oh, yeah. Family was the first one. They were like, oh, you giving your child marijuana, he's going to be high. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Sure.
and I tell him, I was like, what would you prefer him? Laughing, smiling, or would you prefer him having seizures and dropping to the floor?
Yeah.
You know, like to see?
Yeah, I mean, and obviously... During that time, did these family members get to see what was going on?
Oh, yeah. Eventually, they did. It took a while because my wife and I had to stop attending events. We couldn't go anywhere. We really had to stay home and monitor him because we didn't know when it was going to happen.
Wow.
Because he had...
Sure. No. I understand. Believe me, you have no idea when it can happen. It can happen at any point in time.
Yeah.
And then he loses control of his abilities to do stuff. And, you know, it's a seizure. And it usually lasts for, 30 seconds to a minute? Or
Depending on the type of seizure you see.
Sure.
Because he had any physical variations of a seizure, he had it. So he would have the ones that you can drop, the ones that would have them twitch.
Your teeth would clench, that type of stuff. That happened all the time, probably.
Yeah. But, like, every week it varied.
Sure. Sure. And those, as a side note, who ever see someone having an epileptic seizure, I mean, God forbid that you know, it's not something that's great to have to endure or be in. It becomes very scary seeing somebody going through that, and they do try to bite their tongue and stuff. Don't try to open their mouth.
Yeah. No.
You know, maybe do you want to give a couple of tips and things that you realized or know now for people who do see someone that has a seizure, if they're trying to think that they can help and... In essence, you know, you shouldn't. Could you kind of like...
Yeah, one of the main things to do is make sure that their length's on their side, keeping them calm, And if they're having the grandma, because again,
yeah, grandma is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the grandma, because people see different variations.
Sure, sure.
The staring, the blank stares, the drooling.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the full.
The full convulsion. One thing that we tried that was an interesting thing that worked is applying cold ice packs into the base of the neck.
Oh, wow.
Stopped it.
Wow.
It stopped it.
Wow. And what made you think of that?
You know, I kind of like deduction. It was like, well, if it's ending up in the brain, you're talking about heat because sometimes you feel overheated.
Absolutely.
And so I thought, well, if you apply ice pack, you know, you move the blood away from that area.
Sure.
So I just basic deduction. I said, let's try it, see what happens.
That's great.
And I applied the ice pack. Within probably 30, 40 seconds, the seizure stopped.
Wow, that's amazing, bro.
Yeah.
I definitely commend, you know, what you've done to, you know, help your son and your family. And I hope that they're... are people out there listening here on Purple Haze Radio, and you do know someone, you know, who child, person, grandparent, whatever it is, you know, that has this condition, you know, reach out, let them be educated, do a little research on the web. Dr. Sanjay Gupta embraced CBD first because it was helping children with epilepsy. And, you know, look at what it did with your life. Now you're working with the Cannabis World Congress.
Yeah.
Being a part of all the movers and shakers of the cannabis industry, and also making it so you yourself has one of the best accesses to all the different CBD companies that are out here to make sure that you and your family are straight and happy. Thank you so much, man, for coming on the show. You have any shout outs you want to throw out to anybody?
Shout out to my wife and my son, Aiden and Nina at home, and everybody in the industry. I have to say I appreciate the people I've met. Everyone's been great. And I'm very thankful because they're giving us an option, you know, and that's the most important thing, because a lot of times you get narrowed down to one, you know, one thing, and it's like big pharma, pharmaceutical. I'm like, no, there's got to be an option. Yeah. A natural plant like that,
yeah,
it has to be there.
And there's a lot of people out there that are very skeptical about something that's natural and holistic, and, you know, how the fuck can that really work, you know, that's... If that was the case, then nobody would have to go to the doctors. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a generalized way to think. But, you know, when you have actual people that have kids or parents or family going through something as you know, as severe as epilepsy, you know, you want to do anything to help out your kids. So I hope this knowledge helps you. Thank you, man, for coming on and letting everybody know what's going on. And, yeah, let's rock and roll. See who else is going to be there to jump on Purple Haze Radio while we're here at the show.
All right, thank you, Andrew, for having me.
All right, man.
Bye.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio, Cannabis Lifestyle Radio. All right, so we're live, CWCBE, Boston. Everybody's kind of recovering from the night before. Always nice to have different people who exhibit and here at the show. And we have Sandy Sukoff. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Great. So are you a East Coast person, or where are you from?
Originally East Coast, yes.
Nice. And where are you living now?
No, we are still living East Coast, but okay. our offices are nationwide.
Okay, cool. So you do stuff for everyone all over the world, essentially.
Well, all over the country.
Country. Yeah, let's leave it at that, at the country. So before you started getting into cannabis stuff, what were you doing?
Well, I had a CPA practice I formed at the end of 1997.
Okay.
And catered to all aspects of tax, accounting, and even bookkeeping and payroll services.
Okay, that's great. And doing that for a lot of years. And then what made you decide, oh, I'm going to tip into the cannabis stuff? Because that's kind of like a crazy territory that I think even a lot of CPAs and accountants kind of are fearful from, right?
Absolutely. Well, for me, there was a family member that developed an autoimmune disease.
Oh, wow.
And I was researching a more holistic, natural remedy.
Okay.
And I learned about the cannabis plant and how it can treat a myriad of health conditions with a high level of efficacy, and I became enamored.
Okay.
And I decided to commence catering to the cannabis space, combining my passion for the plant and my love and livelihood for accounting and tax.
And because people are in cannabis, there's a lot more taxation, I guess, or what is the, I mean, is it because there's a lot of cash, what's the main concerns why it's so different because someone's a cannabis over than a regular business?
Very good question. In 1982, Congress enacted IRC 280E, and that's a part of the Internal Revenue Code that specifies that no deductions or credits can be taken by any businesses that are trafficking controlled substances within the Controlled Substance Act on Schedule 1 or Schedule 2, and AKA marijuana finds itself on Schedule 1.
So what you're saying is if normally I go out for dinner with clients, you know, and it wasn't in the cannabis industry, you know, I could probably deduct that business meeting, right?
Correct.
Now, if it was the same person, like from the show, going out and it's a cannabis thing and going out for a cannabis meeting about business at that same dinner, you're saying you can't deduct that.
Correct, because all that cannabis businesses have to deduct is cost of goods sold, because the court had ruled that cost of goods sold is not a deduction, but rather an adjustment at arriving at gross income. So predicated upon that technicality, they are allowed cost of goods sold, but that has to do with inventory and going out to dinner. I don't know how that can be applicable to inventory.
No, okay, yeah.
One would have to be very creative.
Well, okay, but that's what you're saying.
Yes.
It's not easy.
No, it's not.
And what other things harbor someone from an accounting perspective because of cannabis? What are some other examples?
Well, if you conform to generally accepted accounting principles, there's actually additional deductions that can be allocable to cost of goods sold. And since that's all a cannabis business has, a cannabis-touching enterprise,
sure,
then they should take advantage of producing GAAP financial statements.
Now, is the same fear if someone is associated in a business with cannabis? Let's say you're doing the packaging for a cannabis company. Do they get to have normal deductions and things?
Yes, so long as they're not trafficking a controlled substance, they can. But sometimes the perception of others, banks, certain advertising like Google pay-per-click, their perception is that you're helping to traffic, and they might preclude you from advertising with them or banking with them.
Sure, and there's a lot of people that that feel that way, right?
Unfortunately so.
I mean, you're looking at a lot of people in America that have this situation, and they don't know who to turn to, nor do they have an accountant that they can trust, right, who would know all the laws and what's done right when filing, right?
Yes, it's highly specialized, and one has to be truly diligent to research Internal Revenue Code, court cases. The more experience you have in the arena.
Sure. Have you had to do a IRS audit of a cannabis company yet?
And I have worked with an attorney.
That had this situation?
Yes.
All right, so that's great. It's great that you're able to do that. Now, even though you have to learn on the federal laws, you also have to understand all the state stuff too, right?
Right. There's different types of excise taxes in every state.
Okay.
Some are percentage. Some are based upon the weight.
Okay.
So, yes, it is indigenous in every state, and there's a lot of compliance that one has to be aware of.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you have a website or a way that people could reach out to you if they were interested in utilizing your services?
Sure. It is www.thecannacpas, that's thecannacpas.com.
Yeah, you got to tell it for our stoners out there. Is it an S? Is it not an S? No, you got it.
Or 833-CPA-CANA, which is 833-CPA-CANA.
Yeah, for all our stoners out there. Hell yeah. Of course. You enjoying the show? You having a nice time?
Yes. Nice people here. Always a great community.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people, you know, have said that I've been speaking to on the radio, that it's definitely a different feel than a lot of other industries, even though it is competitive and even though there is a lot of people out there trying to, you know, get rich off of cannabis. Everyone seems to be, at the most part, you know, pretty friendly and cordial with each other.
I would absolutely agree with that.
Absolutely. So it was very nice talking to you.
It was awesome talking to you.
Thank you for so much to coming on the radio station and letting people know that there are accountants out there that'll help you if you if you're doing stuff in the cannabis industry.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
I'm Principal Smith Costello and Crawford Law Firm here in Boston, and we have about 27 clients from our cultivation. It's incredible how many jobs can be created through this. You know, one of our clients is going to be building a cultivation up on the North Shore here. That's going to bring 100 jobs to a industrial park that actually lost a company, has vacant space. I mean, these are going to be local jobs. They're going to be paying well above minimum wage. Will have benefits, and are really going to benefit a lot of people because they're advanced manufacturing jobs. These aren't necessarily jobs like you see in Kendall Square, where you need a doctorate degree to get these. And so this is a really exciting opportunity to lift all people up, get them employed. And I think to the chairman's point, once some of these communities who have these moratoriums, which is basically a study period of a certain number of months that they're allowed to do, I think they're going to look to folks like Mayor LaChapelle and they're going to go, wow, this is something we should be doing in our community.
I mean, I must say that I see, you know, when we look back on this experience in 5 or 10 years, mm-hmm. This comes down to opening a new marketplace, having reasonable regulation that creates job and new growth. And we've seen that with the cultivator who is in East Hampton now, adding jobs. They had a job fair, 400 people showed up.
Wow.
They've just added another 31 positions in the last couple of months.
Oh my God, that's great.
In a city of 16,000, that is a game changer
for
folks entering.
Plus for the schools, right? It gives a little money for the schools, keeps the parks a little money for that, right? Stuff like that. Everything helps improvement of life and people's quality of life. I think that is also a very important thing to think about, right?
Yes.
And probably one of the most important things to think about is people's quality of life, you know?
Absolutely.
And if this wonderful plant, you know, it's natural, comes from the ground, has all these great medical benefits, it's, I give, you know, great props to you as a mayor for, you know, putting the foot forward, and you, chairman, for helping with the legislation that you've done, because you know, if you didn't do it, where would we be? You know what I mean? That's really it is. If you didn't have the people that had the strength to believe in something that was so important, you know, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be speaking and going around and talking to all these things. Is there anything you want to relay to anybody out there listening to what you're doing as far as progressiveness in cannabis?
I mean, I want to go back a little bit, but also, so while I took a step forward and did so as I was campaigning and became more and more an advocate and supporter of the industry, I really have to give props to East Hampton City Council.
Okay. East Hampton City Council, props to you guys.
I mean, 2 years before, I mean, they were working on this. The ordinance is fantastic, and it's a model for other communities.
Awesome.
Volunteer boards,
nice.
Planning, just working, you know, not even for or against, but a really thorough public vetting. And I would encourage anybody coming into Massachusetts is, you know, if you're part of the industry, be fearless and open, transparent about why you're in the industry, what are you going to do for this town, and look at Main Street. Like, what do Main Street and these communities
mean? And not only that, anybody, right? I mean, as long as they have a clean record, as long as they have a good proposal, it's not just all these rich business guys that you want to come in, right? We want to stimulate it for the people as well, right?
That's right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we want this industry to lift all people.
You know?
Not just be, you know, we've done that in the law with a number of caps on licenses, so you know, you don't have the proverbial Walmart of weed that takes them off. That is really.
And what about social equity? Have you guys started talking about you know, that in your model?
Yeah. We've started talking about it. We have placeholders. We have a model policy. We're waiting for the state, specifically the commission, to give us more guidance on that.
Okay.
You know, they're using the word equity, but we're ready to define it. You know,
and the LGBT community, stuff like that. You know, in California, it's very strong, and part of the application process, actually, that you get points towards having programs and considering, you know, employment for LGBT communities as well. So.
Yeah, and actually in the law, the equity applicants got to apply earlier.
Oh, what a great thing you did. What an awesome thing to do. That is awesome.
You know, I think the thing that your listeners should take away is that Massachusetts is open for business. It's like any state, it's going to be complicated. Different municipalities are going to have different attitudes. But thankfully, we have the leadership of folks like the mayor and the chairman, and they're not alone. They're not alone.
Sure.
And so I really hope that folks across the country, maybe across the globe here, are looking at Massachusetts, and I hope that we get to meet them here very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully, because of the wonderful advances that you're doing as a mayor, the tourists will be able to come to wonderful New Brunswick when rec is available there, right? And stimulate the economy of your town.
Absolutely. It's
and give good already. Props to such a wonderful person that's doing such great things. Thank you so much for coming on the air, telling us about what you're doing and coming and speaking at CWCB. It was a pleasure and an honor, and thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
All right, so we're back, CWCBE, chilling, talking to lots of great people in the industry and getting a good feel of all the different cannabis stuff that's been going on, from terpenes to software to all kinds of stuff. And today I got my boy Milo Childs Campolo of TreeWorks. How you doing, my brother?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Good, man. You East Coast gentleman or West Coast? Where are you from?
We are East Coast, but we're from the western part of the state. We're Western Mass. Our facility is going to be in Hatfield.
Okay, nice. And you guys cultivators, or what are you guys doing?
We're doing product manufacturing.
Okay, so product manufacturing. Like what kind of products?
So we got a lot of ideas in the works. We're going to roll out with 5 products originally. Start with vaporizer, pen cartridges, tinctures. We have a pain salve. A soft chew, like a Starburst infused soft chew.
Oh, that's cool. Different flavors?
Different flavors, yeah.
Have you guys already started beta testing and doing that stuff yet, or no?
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of product test batches. We don't have our final license yet, so we've been taking the opportunity of the waiting game to lock down our recipes.
But you guys got the approval, now you're just waiting for the answer and stuff, or what's the deal?
We're about to sign our community host agreement with our town.
Okay, so yeah. I'm not familiar with how everything is in Boston. We're West Coast. Could you kind of break down how it works here?
Yeah, so the biggest hurdle that exists in Mass is the municipality level, so getting the full confidence of the town you're in and the good to go to operate.
Okay, and that's what you guys have been working with.
Yes.
And how's it been going?
It's been going good. You know, the town we're going into, it's a kind of a small little farm town that has kind of some conservative leaning. So we were a little concerned coming in as a cannabis company, being the first cannabis company in that town. And everyone at the town level has been very supportive. We've really been surprised by that. But
hell yeah.
You know.
That's cool, man. Yeah. And have you always had a love for the cannabis industry? Have you been part of it, or what did you do before this?
Yeah, so I've always been very passionate about cannabis. I've never been a big grower or really selling it or anything like that. It's more been a hobby of mine to, you know, make edibles and to smoke flower and all that. And I've always been worked in small businesses and out in Western Mass, and I've always wanted to run my own business. And
do you come from a cooking background and stuff that you wanted to get into edibles, or was it just a passion?
I do have a little background in cooking. One of the other co-founders, McKay, he's kind of the head chef. He's had a lot of chef experience, so he's been helping develop a lot of the recipes.
Okay, nice. That's pretty cool. And what's one of your favorite recipes?
Well, we have a 7-layer bar. We're not thinking of
7-layer.
Opening it up with
holy
that one.
Cow. What would be in the 7-layer, just out of curiosity? Do you know the layers?
Oh. I do know the layers. Yeah, so we got let's see. So we got caramel. You have chocolate, We got nuts. We've got, that's what we got, three right there.
Yeah, we got three. We got a couple more. Is there any caramel? We got marshmallow or anything like that in the mix or what?
I don't think there's any marshmallow. I thought I knew the layers. Maybe I don't. I just like the flavor of it mainly.
I got you. I got you for sure. And if you do everything successful, when could people probably get to buy stuff from you guys?
So we are hoping timeline for us to be in stores in Massachusetts to be able to get that TreeWorks product. March, maybe April.
Okay, nice. Nice. And if people hit you up, what's the website?
So it's treeworksma.com, and if you have any questions for us, the email address to reach us is info@treeworksma.com.
Hell yeah.
And we'd love to hear from all y'all, bounce back ideas, feedback, get you guys stoked. We have a lot of swag, promotional stuff we want to send people, send
hell
out their
yeah.
way.
So, hell yeah, so yeah. You want some cool swag, hit these guys up for sure. Thank you, man, for coming on and letting us know about your company, and definitely have fun at the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Hell yeah.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
All right, so we're back, CWCBE, checking out everything going on, everybody looking at all different booths, checking all different things in the industry, and we have so many different people here. It's really great to see all the different types, because you think, oh, you know, cannabis convention, you're like, oh, is it just bud? Is there all these nugs, people smoking, all that type of stuff? But in this particular situation, it's different. It's a CWCBE is a cannabis industry convention highlighting all the different things that are in the cannabis industry. And today I got my buddy Jared from BMG Inc. What's up, my brother? How you doing?
I'm all right. How about you?
Good, man. So you West Coast, East Coast, where are you from?
We're East Coast. We are in Feasterville, okay. Which is about a half hour outside of Philadelphia.
Nice. Shout out to all my Philly people out there. Home of the Eagles and the best cheesesteaks on the planet, that's for sure. I yep. definitely miss that shit. Being out in Cali, they don't got good cheesesteaks like they do on the East Coast, that's
nah.
for sure.
Yeah.
What's your favorite place, though, when you go grab one?
I got to go with Gino's.
Gino's?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Shout out to Gino's and all the good shit you guys make, for sure. What were you doing before you were in the cannabis industry?
Well, it's funny because I'm doing the same thing I was doing for the last 10 years,
okay.
which is credit card processing, and that's what BMJ Group Inc. does.
Sure.
Everybody that's selling these products, you know, cannabis products, CBD, hemp, whatever, they need to accept credit cards.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of regulations and problems with
yep.
that. People usually sign up on Square or PayPal,
PayPal
or whatever, and then after a few months they catch on to it being related to cannabis, and then
yep.
what happens? They cancel your account.
They get shut down, the banks freak
down.
Out, they hold funds.
Absolutely.
It's insane. But what we've been able to do is team up with banks and create a transparent program.
Okay.
So that they know what it is.
Nice.
So the shutdowns don't happen.
Really?
Yeah.
So you just tell the bank or the credit union or whoever you're working with, look, this is what we are doing.
Yeah. And
cannabis.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And we not only just tell them what it is, but we've helped to create a protocol so that they know everything's being done on the up and up and there's no surprises.
Okay, so kind of break that down.
So part of the requirements to getting an account, if you're selling hemp or CBD online or retail, is we get lab reports on all the products.
Okay.
So we know exactly what's in it.
So you're making sure that what's being sold is legit.
Yep. FDA disclaimers have to be on the website.
Okay. So what about it? But you're doing hemp and you're doing CBD. Does that mean you're not doing dispensaries and companies that actually are doing cannabis?
No, dispensaries are included as well.
Oh,
they just
really?
Use a different type of merchant account.
And protocol for that.
Yeah. We need their dispensary license.
Sure.
We need to see photos of the exterior and the interior to make
okay.
sure that, again, everything's being done on the up and up.
Absolutely. That's great. And
yeah.
are the rates a lot more just because of that, though?
No, they're actually in the same ballpark. We're not, look, everybody's here to make money.
Sure, I got
but
you.
We're not trying to gouge anybody. That's never been our angle.
And how long have you guys been doing it?
We've been focusing on the cannabis industry for the last 3 years.
Okay, so 3 years. And have you had still to this day some customers that started 3 years ago and they're still rocking.
Absolutely,
with you.
Absolutely.
That's great. And you're accepting this in all states?
All states.
If someone is interested in this and approaching you guys have a website?
Yep. It is bmjgroupinc.com.
bmjgroupinc.com. And what about companies associated with cannabis? I guess that's actually pretty easy to do if they want to do credit card processing, right?
Yeah. It's
and do you have better rates if somebody wanted to just join you guys because you're a credit card processor and just isn't with cannabis? You guys take in regular clients too?
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah. Then are the rates different, though, in those perspectives or no?
Rates are different. It always comes down to what the bank perceives to be risky. If the risk sure. level is higher, then the bank wants the rate to be higher. But
okay.
part of our job is to calibrate that and make sure that it's not too much.
Okay. You know, no, that's good. Yeah. That's great. I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing. You got any shout-outs? Any friends or family out there you want to say what's up?
Yeah. My wife's here for the first time. She's learning more about the industry. She may want to launch some products of her own. So she's
oh, no shit.
Right down there, Marianne.
Hell yeah. That's great, yeah. man. That's awesome to have a situation where things are going so well like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
beautiful.
That's
awesome, man.
Yeah.
And website again?
It's bmjgroupinc.com.
You guys on the Grammy? You got Instagram or Facebook or any like social media?
Yeah, we have a Facebook. I don't think we have a Gram yet.
Okay, cool. Facebook, what's that?
You know what? I'm not sure. I got to check with the marketing guys.
No, I got to talk to the marketing guys. That's what happens. You get too stoned. You know, as a matter of fact, I think I haven't smoked enough bud today. So maybe after this break, we're going to smoke a little bit, puff tough, and go grab a snacky.
Absolutely.
Hey, man, it was good talking to you. Thank you so much for talking about the company. And definitely, if you guys have credit card processing needs, hit these guys up.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're in the cannabis industry. At least you don't have to worry about being ridiculed or, you know, labeled as something negative. So thank you for doing what you do, brother, and providing a great service to people that need it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, my brother.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.